And I'm not sure which translation it comes from in the book, but I'll read it from the New King James. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So there's lots of physical analogies in there that I really liked. And describing a church like this in terms of its ministries, the APES ministries, you're really talking about a complete system. For us to operate healthy as a church, we need to be mature in each area of the APES ministries. So that doesn't mean that you have to be an expert in all of these, but for you to be able to, for the body to be able to be healthy, we all need to be able to function in certain portions of it. We have our base ministries, which are the ones, once we've done the questionnaire, identifies our strongest, easiest, most comfortable, most natural gifting. And then we have our phase ministries, which is where we go and exercise other parts of the ministries by being in a phase of life. So I am a shepherd, apparently, first, which was kind of news to me. But looking at what I do most days, that is a lot of shepherding involved. So I'm an employer. So all my staff, I look after, I make sure they're trained, they're equipped, they're resourced for them to do their jobs. And that's very much what I do in Sunday school, in kids club, and things like that as well. Now, I also have a teaching almost in equal ties with an apostolic ministry. And I can see where I'm a teacher, because I do that quite a lot as well. It's kind of easy to identify, but I also am an apostle. And I don't really understand that fully. I don't know how I should be operating, how I should be exercising that muscle. So my base one, which is shepherding, looking after people, making sure people are happy and able to do their jobs, is easy. But my phase, which is also very important to me for me to be able to be a contributing part of this body, is something I'm not so comfortable with. But maturity demands that I have a certain level of understanding in all those phases. Paul isn't isolating. Paul isn't putting in a box. He isn't setting us up to be pigeonholed into our roles within the body. He is putting us in place to operate most effectively and efficiently, maybe in our base roles, but also to be conjoined, to be part of a whole system by exercising in each of our phases. So our maturity comes from that. And this took me back to my favorite topic in study of the Bible, which is defending the faith, defending the reality of God, the reality of Jesus, that God is our creator, that he made us all and he designed us and he gave us a rule book and a handbook on how to live our lives and how to be the most effective human beings that we can be. And part of the argument for that in nature that is kind of irrefutable is that we have all around us mechanisms and things that have been designed that are irreducible. So that is a system where if you try and take one part out, the whole system fails. There's no way that it can function in its designed purpose. And the human knee, or the mammalian knee, is one of those things that if you remove a single part of it, then the whole system falls down. So it's not something that could just evolve, could grow by small measures, could become whole and complete and healthy. It has to have been designed from the outset with all the parts in place. And there are four identifiable parts of the knee that I think you'll find interesting if you're at all like me. So let me jump back to this and I'll show you a video. The knee is made up of a four-bar mechanism. So it's not quite five bar. I was trying to find one that matched the APES, but it didn't quite work out. This will do instead. It's a four-bar mechanism, so you have two parallel portions within your knee, which are your femur at the top, which has got front and back, and then your tibia at the bottom, which is the big bone in your lower leg, front and back. And they form two bars in your four-bar system. And then within that, you've got two really strong ligatures, and they cross over inside your knee. And that means that your knee can bend all the way back and go all the way forward without falling apart. And it's like a joint, like a hinge, rather than a ball and socket. So your hip can do all that sort of motion, but your knee only goes backwards and forwards, really. And so when you're running, you've got direction, you can determine all these sorts of things. So for your knee to exist and function, it has to have been designed perfectly, because you've got those four elements, and without one of them, the knee doesn't work. You can't have a four-bar system without one of those bars, so it would just fall apart. So let me find this video now. And there is audio, but we don't need to hear it. You'll just see the pictures and I'll talk it through.
The human knee utilizes a four-bar mechanism to efficiently transfer power from the muscles of the hip and pelvis.
So.
To the leg.
Escape from that. To that one. Here we go. No, still not going.
The remaining two components of this unique four-bar system.
Let me just pause that. So, you can see the bar action there. You've got your top of your leg and your bottom, and there's a very complex motion going on. It's going backwards and forwards, and it's rolling at the same time. And these crossover parts are your ligatures, and without either of those, then your knee fails. And so in football, particularly here, an ACL injury or something like that, and that's when one of those ligatures is broken, and it means that the whole system fails. The knee just can't function. And so to repair it, they'll actually pull portions of your other parts of your body to replace that ligature, because there's no way your knee can function without it. And so as a system, it's designed that every part has to be in place. And it's just like the church. Without every part of those fivefold ministries in part, we're not really operating as a functioning church. So the importance that Paul places on it is very high. And if we use that analogy, and that's how I've started to think about it, without each part of it, then we're not functioning. So the maturity of it comes from us making sure we've identified who it is around us that is operating in either the being an apostle or being a prophet or an evangelist or a shepherd and a teacher, knowing who those people are, who it's a natural gifting, but also recognizing in yourself what your main gifting is and stepping up and operating in it and exercising it, but then also having phases where you're learning from someone else who is strong in a phase that you're not, or in one of your second or third phases. And that will help us achieve maturity. So in the parts of the chapter as well, it talks from Hebrews 5, verse 11. So if we could turn to that too. Because we're talking about maturity, it's about growing up, about transforming from being a baby to being a grown-up. I think it's from verse 11. So Hebrews 5, verse 11. No, that's not where I want to be. Verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that was Paul's warning, Paul's observation of a church that wasn't functioning as it should be by this point. It had started, it had done well, it got to grips with the basics of life, like drinking milk, but it had never grown up beyond that into being able to eat beef and steak and and enjoying the richness of food in front of it. It wasn't operating healthily, and so Paul brought it up, said, this is where you are, you need to move on. And his encouragement was them to go on to step into the fullness of Christ, to look at the big variety of food around him. And so that's where we need to be as well. We need to look at how we are operating still as a child, and we need to look at ways of strengthening that, of improving that within ourselves, going on to become an adult, so that we can support each other. It's great being a dad and seeing your children grow up from infants to approaching adulthood now. Just the physical changes alone are quite incredible, aren't they? They can, when you're in it and you're watching it, it's quite a slow, gradual process. But then you look at someone else's child and you've not seen them for, it can be a couple of months. There's a kid who's been out of kids club for about 6 months, and he suddenly came back. He'd grown a foot, his voice box was expanded, he was his words and his vocabulary was that of a scientist rather than a child anymore, and it's great to see those things, because it is natural. If you see someone who has stopped, who's peaked, and never goes beyond that, then it's something you don't enjoy seeing. You always then feel that there's more potential in that person, and they're limiting themselves by staying on baby food. And that's the same as we have in our church. If we know that we can be operating, or the others around us can be operating at a better level, to reaching more of our potential, then it's up to us to encourage each other to get out, to be supportive to the fact that people can do more, can get more out of each other. And so it's not good enough for us to entirely rely on John to be our teacher. We're all starting to exercise a bit and get up and do more, because John's got a gifting in that, but he has giftings in the other areas too that he needs to work and exercise in, and we're all learning from each other, we're all developing each other, but this is a healthy way for us to get to maturity. So when we are children and we're faced with our first plate of steak and the tougher foods, maybe. I know for Jane, that was a complete turn off, and it just didn't work for her. She wasn't going to eat meat. Never was going to happen. She was made to eat boiled beef. I think that was the problem. She was sat chewing it for hours at the dinner table, asking to clean her plate. Just not something you want to, not something you want to do if you're not of that disposition. So it can be a nerve-wracking situation that can make you feel vulnerable and insecure if you're not able to tuck into that plate in front of you, which is why everyone else needs to be encouraging and supportive around you. If you've got a particular calling on you, because you know as well, you recognize in yourself which of these ministries you're maybe being asked to operate in and not doing so. For me, it's very easy to teach a group of kids. So whether it's doing an object lesson and having a video and a nice presentation and getting excited and jumping around, it's quite easy to keep them engaged. It's much more difficult for me to stand in front of you. but I'm exercising. I'm trying to work those muscles, build up the ligatures, take every part of my five bar system is operational, stretching it and working it. And as we go on from this introduction or a reminder of all the parts of the chapter, we'll go into discussion time, where you can be looking at where you're vulnerable and insecure, maybe around certain areas of these ministries, talking about them, sharing them about them, but then also exercising those parts that are failing, looking at other people. One of the particular things that I liked about this week was you had to identify somebody who was operating in one of the areas of the ministry that you knew you were supposed to be operating in, and who you wish you could spend time with learning from. And that's from our group as well. So identifying someone like that in the group's a very useful thing, but then you have to do something about it. You've got to speak, got to start that conversation. Ask maybe whether you can share some time together, get to know each other a bit better. When we were talking about the men's meeting, at the trustees meeting the other night, all the men were kind of, yeah, we could do another one. We should probably do something. And it was Rita that stood up and said, yes, you men need to do a men's meeting and actually see each other and get on with it. And she recognizes where we need to improve, because men are very poor at communicating and bonding, and it's easier just to stay home and settle into our little niches. But as we're part of a healthy system, we have encouragement from other areas of the leadership, of the body, to get into our areas and exercise those muscles. So maybe it's time to have a go at that. Now, if we could get into two groups, I think. And I'll put up some questions. I'll tell you the first one, so then you give me a chance to work the PowerPoint out. And the first one is from day 5 of the book, if you've got your books with you. The first one I've brought down into, that's not my gifting. When is that an appropriate response within the body? It's very easy to say, that's not my gifting, and I don't have to do it. But when is that appropriate and when is it not? So maybe if we get into our two groups, we could have maybe Coralie come over and join this side. I've got one, they can borrow mine. Yeah. And we'll talk through that first question. That's not my gifting. When is this an appropriate response?